iRockRadio.me, I'm Rick Becker, continuing my interview with Huxley lead singer Doug Goldspiel. Doug, we're all hoping to get back to live shows in 2021. If one of our listeners gets the chance to see Huxley for the first time, what can they expect?
I mean, we're like a family. There's not been a single person who hasn't come out to our shows where at the end we don't talk to, hang out with, get to know personally. You know, it's really funny. Today, somebody who knew us as Endless Sacrifice, she even has a tattoo on her arm of some lyrics and a boat, and it's really cool. And she actually texted me today about a cockroach in her apartment, and she wasn't sure what to do. And I got to just talk with her about that. And so if you're going to come, you're going to realize that you're joining a movement, a family of people who just like to be around other good people and enjoy music.
And how would you describe your music to somebody who hasn't seen you before?
Oof, the hardest question of all. I would say it's fun. It's rock. It reminds you of the old school rock that you love with that new school feel where you can dance meet your neighbor and have them join you.
Very cool. You definitely seem to focus on this sense of community. And I really like that about your band, because the best bands create that, and they create it early. So you're only a year into this project, and it's always good to sort of set that up early so that you know that you can feel like you're a part of something. Because as you guys continue to grow, as you guys continue to get more exposure, these people will have that connection to you. The more that community grows, then the more those people get more and more friends. So it definitely is one of the best parts of rock and roll and rock music and being a part of a band in the early stages.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fans are always the most important thing. You know, without them, you don't get to go up on stage and do cool things. So.
And that influences question always comes up. You say, you know, it's sort of that old school, you know, rock music with a new kick to it. Who were some of those influences? Who are some of the bands that you can sort of hear seeping through your own work?
Oof, that's hard. I mean, when we got into this, our big thing was like, you know, we really liked Beartooth and Breaking Benjamin and, you know, Shinedown, and we wanted to emulate them. But like, you know, we grew up on Judas Priest and, you know, AC/DC and, you know, Led Zeppelin and all those, you know, Kings of Rock. And so you can't ever forget that when you're making music, because they did it right, you know, originally. So, you know, you take the good from the Shinedowns and the Breaking Benjamins and the, you know, Beartooths of the world, and then you slam it together with some old school.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier that you changed drummers very recently. You just recently picked up a new drummer. Mm-hmm. How did you go about trying to find somebody to put in your band when all of this is going on in the world? It's hard to just get together with people and jam because you're not even technically supposed to be around people right now.
Yeah, we got lucky, I guess, during the lull of all of this, that we were able to, you know, communicate with them, send them our music all virtually. They were able to practice, take the time. And then when we were able to do safe practice spaces, we were able to go through, you know, a handful of tryouts. So it worked out well, honestly. We got right in the dip of it all. But Bill, we actually knew. He played drums for our first show. He was actually the drummer of the first band, Stay, that was on. We've known him for a while, a phenomenal drummer, so we're really excited to have him.
I'm Rick Becker from iRockRadio.me, chatting with Doug from the band Huxley. With shows on hold for right now, are you actively searching gigs for the future, or are you just on wait-and-see mode?
Yeah, I mean, we were approached at one point about maybe getting on a show back in August, and we thought about it, and we went, you know what, in the whole grand scheme of things, you know, what's the rush of coming back and being that band that put people in an unsafe environment? At this rate, you know, you wait it out. You see what the industry does. If the larger bands start touring, you follow suit. You know, it's I think safety has to be everyone's first priority.
So we just had our local gym reopened in my neighborhood. So I was able to re-up my membership, and now I was getting back out on the basketball court and shooting around. And I was just like, man, I have no muscle memory for any of that. How do you keep the muscle memory while you're going through this so that when you're playing shows again, you know, you have that muscle memory, you're able to just get together and it's as fluid and seamless as it was before all this happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. At the end of the day, it's all about your own persistence, right? If you truly want it, you practice, you know? And so that's what you have to rely on. You know, every member knows that even if we're not together, that there's still something to be done. So actually right off this call, I'm hopping right on a meeting with them to go over, you know, our next 6 months. So like you have to practice at home. You have to sit down with your instruments. You have to do vocal warmups. You know, admittedly, it gets hard. You know, you fall off the wagon, you know, just like the gym, you fall off the wagon. But every you know, stroke of the guitar or vocal note that I'm hitting is some sort of workout. You know, you got to work it out and you got to practice.
So what goes into some of these conversations that you might have? Do you actually do virtual like Zoom jam sessions, or is it almost like a sports team where you're like, okay, I want you working on this stuff, I want you working on this stuff? Like, how does that go? How do you organize a band when you're not all in the same place?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly like sports. You know, there's a million things to be done, and admittedly, you won't accomplish half of them. I mean, it's hard. You know, there's social medias to attend to. There's Spotify numbers to keep track of. There's YouTube things to push. There's personal pages to put up, and that's just social media, you know. And then you have to think about, you know, emails and you know, reaching out to people. You know, you can't go stagnant. So yeah, a lot of it is just talking and game planning, saying like, hey, you know, if we can, you know, fit in a music video where we're safe, you know, if we can practice in a safer location, you know, it's just planning.
How can somebody who's just starting, you know, they hear Huxley on iRockRadio.me and they're like, oh man, you know, this song's great, or they get the chance to eventually see you live, what are some ways that they can support you? Where are some of your social media pages? Where are some of the places they can go to get merch to support you? Where can they also listen besides just iRockRadio.me, like listen to us, but where are some other places that if they check out your music, you might get some money from that, because that's also very important.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Obviously, iRockRadio.me has been awesome, so make sure you spend most of your time there. But after that, if you go to dohux.com, just dohux.com, everything is right there. You can click on every link. It brings you to every social media that we have. Our merch store is there. Admittedly, it's you know, scarce at the moment. Obviously, no shows and a lot of merch, but it's going to start popping out some things too. And then right on that website, you can actually submit your information if you want emails from us. We're going to start that back up soon. So you can hop right on that. It's dohux.com brings you to the hub of everything to find all our music, all our videos, all our social medias.
And a lot of our listeners might not know this, but even if you just find a video, like you like their cover of Watermelon Sugar, and you're like, oh, this is funny, and you want to share that on your social media, every time one of your friends watches it, that actually helps out these bands. So please do stuff like that. If you like a band, share their stuff on social media. Always like the video on YouTube. Put a comment. Those things actually do matter to these people's real lives.
Yeah, it's honestly insane. Like, you know, you mentioned, you know, where can they, you know, spend a couple bucks? You know, the money's cool, but honestly, that social media interaction almost becomes better. Just putting us on your playlists, just putting us just a standard thing that you bop by every once in a while, those shares, those comments, those likes, all that adds up and people notice those things.
And we've mentioned earlier that you guys are from New Jersey. Where exactly in New Jersey?
A little all over the place. Some in Vineland, some in Williamstown. That's probably our two main hubs, is Vineland and Williamstown.
If somebody were to not know New Jersey very well and be, you know, we have like international listeners. So if they don't know New Jersey, they just think New Jersey is the thing they see across the river from New York City. but it's like a whole place. So where exactly are you, you know, what area of New Jersey?
Well, I think not terrible North Jersey, only South Jersey is what matters when you're looking at Jersey. We're in South Jersey.
So they're in South Jersey. So like I said, for the international listeners or the people who aren't as familiar as a lot of our Pennsylvania listeners, they're going to be more in the Philadelphia market than mm-hmm. in the New York City market. So that's sort of more where they're doing their thing. They're also closer to some of the better, more fun beaches. And that's obviously a good thing as well.
Yeah.
So I tell you what, Doug, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on iRockRadio.me.
Thank you so much for having me. This was awesome having this opportunity. So I appreciate it.
That was Doug Goldspiel of the band Huxley on iRockRadio.me. They're on tap to play as a part of the Millennium Music Conference in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in early 2021. Be listening for more details on that. We'll close it out with another song from Huxley on iRockRadio.me. iRockRadio.me. I'm Rick Becker, and I have something very special for everyone. Right now, I'm talking with Doug Goldspiel, the lead singer of Huxley. Doug, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. We first really became aware of you when our program director, Jay Hunter, was at the Millennium Music Conference earlier this year. I mean, it seems like about 8 years ago now, but it was earlier this year, and he met up with you guys. Really fell in love with your band. You're on tap, the good Lord willing, to play the Millennium Music Conference again in 2021. So if you could talk a little bit about that experience, because that's something we've all been a part of for a number of years now. If you could talk about the Millennium Music Conference, how you guys have used that to grow the band.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. It was a great opportunity for us to just kind of get in there and talk to some people who are really deep into the scene and working on some pretty cool projects, gained a lot of information, was able to kind of really connect with a lot of cool people like Jay. It was a great experience to do. And we made good friends with Eternal Frequency there. They're doing awesome things. So definitely check them out as well. I know you guys are big fans of Eternal Frequency. So it was an awesome experience and got to do some cool things.
And I just wanted to say that you met cool people and Jay, not cool people like Jay. So we're not going to give him that kind of credibility right now, man. So you had a lot of stuff planned and then boom, COVID hit and it really messed up your plans a lot. So why don't you talk a little bit about that as well to hear what you had planned to be going on for this year and how you've sort of had to adjust on the fly.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of the things that we wanted to do was specifically touring wise, getting our names out there. In terms of like band relevancy, we were another band called Endless Sacrifice Prior. And then we kind of came into this Huxley, and this Huxley is honestly a year old at this point. It's hard when you're trying to get your name out there, and we wanted to tour and all that kind of stuff. So the best thing you do is you pivot, and we actually have a ton of new music sitting in our arsenal, and we're ready to go with that.
Did you kind of use this time to write a whole bunch of more material so that once you're able to get out there again, you really have a much bigger library and a bigger catalog to just go out there and play longer shows?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. It gives us more versatility in our set as well, depending on the crowd and where we're at. We can feel out different songs and different emotions towards things. So it's just overall the best move that we could have possibly had because it allowed us the proper amount of time to just get ourselves ready to attack the world when it's up and running again.
And speaking of versatility in songs, on your Facebook page right now, I suggest everybody, well, after this interview, go to your Facebook page and check out your cover of Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar. That was awesome. Whose idea was it to do that song? How did it come about? Because the video's hilarious. Your version of the song is awesome, by the way. So how did that all sort of happen?
Covers for us have always been like our Achilles heel. We've always been fighting about it, trying to figure out what to do. The guy who does all our video work his name's Trevor, Trevor Jennings. So if you want videos like ours, definitely check him out. He had suggested it one time hanging out. He was like, you know, Harry Styles, he's kind of coming back. He's doing some cool things. He just released his Watermelon Sugar video. And so me and the guys all sat down and we talked about it. And we're like, you know, it'd be really funny is if we did it. Now he's got beautiful girls and he looks amazing. And we're like, well, what if we just get our buddies and we're just a bunch of dudes doing the same exact thing? So we couldn't pass up that opportunity to just have some fun.
And you guys are from New Jersey, so it's easy to just hop down to the Jersey Shore and film that video. I'm assuming that's where you did it.
Yeah, yeah. We actually got we kind of thought about it. We're like, we could go to Ocean City or Wildwood or anything like that. And we're like, you know what? That's just going to be too crazy. We're going to have to deal with too many people. So we actually went to Fortescue. It was beautiful there. It was right off the bay. So it's actually the Delaware Bay there. I'm pretty sure that's it, but it was awesome. It was perfect.
So you had mentioned earlier that Huxley as a project is fairly new and the members of your band come from some other bands. What were those bands and what were you doing that you decided you wanted to sort of change directions a little bit?
Sure. You know, one of the biggest things, that got us changing in the beginning was, we're losing our drummer, Nick Mazzelli. He was going to school and all this kind of stuff. So, he's an engineer, brilliant guy. He's actually in a different band now. So he's doing awesome stuff, but, at that time he had to move on. And so we took that opportunity to feel like, hey, if we're going to start something new, why don't we start something new and try a different chapter? We also thought, you know, at 30 years old, I don't know if people want to hear us screaming anymore. So
absolutely. That's cool. And you're certainly working on a whole lot of new stuff. You were, I believe, scheduled to have a new EP come out, but you pushed that back a little bit.
The first EP came out, and that's what's on Spotify now. So that has like If I Rule the World and Evil and all that kind of stuff on there. But now we're just going to take the time, release some singles, get some people just coming back to our page, reasons to stop by again, hopefully some new merch in the near future. So not an EP per se, but we have the music and it's coming. So just keep looking.
So I know that you have mentioned that songs like, for example, We are very inclusive. And that seems to be an important part of your band. Back in June, you guys took part in the fundraiser Black and Pink, a trans wellness program. What made you guys sort of step up and embrace some of these causes? And, you know, you might face some backlash for stuff like that. What made you think this is important enough and we really want to be associated with these things?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, ever since we started, we actually had a nonprofit that me and the guitarist's wife worked on. So we've always been really, really connected with trying to help out in any way we can. Playing music is just a dream. You know, anytime you get to do it, it's amazing. So if there's anything we can do positive in the world with our music, it's important to us. Most of our members actually have gay, trans, LGBT in our families. So it's really important to us to make them feel included. Rock is sometimes gets really construed as this like overly manly, macho kind of thing. And we just don't want our music to be like that. We want it to be everybody can enjoy and get something from it. So and especially the way the world is, you know, it's bad not to get involved in some capacity.
And how did that fundraiser go for Black and Pink? What does that organization do? And were you able to raise a lot of money for them and help them out a lot?
We raised a couple hundred bucks for it, which was really awesome. We did a matching drive. So any merch that was purchased, the proceeds went to all of the proceeds went to that. And then me and the other guitarist, Alex, actually matched whatever was purchased as well. So we did really well. We had a lot of people who got involved and bought various things. They do a lot of stuff for trans rights, which we thought was really cool. At that time, they were working specifically with like Black Lives Matter movement as well as other different things, helping people who got arrested during the marches and things like that. So They were doing a lot of great things for the community at that time, and we wanted to get involved.
I'm Rick Becker from iRockRadio.me. I will continue my conversation with Doug Goldspiel, lead singer of New Jersey rock band Huxley, in just a few minutes. Right now, let's hear from Huxley on iRockRadio.me.